yell until the whole crowd ate. My mama always said to me, Jim, take a tater and wait. Now taters never did taste good, but chicken on the plate, but I had to eat them just the same. That is why I look so bad and have these puny ways, because I always had to take an old cold tater and wait.
All righty. It is Saturday, December 16th, 2023, and time for another edition of Blackbird 9 Saturday Snack Shack. I'm your host, Frederick C. Blackburn. I'd like to welcome everyone to the Trading Post this evening. I hope everyone's having a wonderful Saturday and a wonderful weekend. Tonight's episode is episode number 54, and it is entitled Noticing Patterns with Mr. Jan Lambrecht. So we're pleased to have him back again, and hopefully we won't have to remove this show like we had to do last show. We'll talk about that later. That was a story in itself. And a quick shout out again to all the RBN staff. I think we finally got all the call in, all the various lines of communication sorted out over there. So once again, we really appreciate all the hard work that the RBN staff have been up against this past month. It has been grueling, to say the least. But I think everything should be back up and working now. And a quick shout out to Mr. Richard Carey. I was on yesterday's Beyond the Official Narrative Friday Roundtable and got to meet Mr. Chris Weitzner. Is that pronouncing that right? I've got to check that. And of course, my good friend, Mr. Stephen Douglas Whitener. We had a good time, covered some really good territory, so definitely check that show out if you get a chance. And have some positive news for Christmas here. Thoughts and prayers for our dear friend Mr. Graham Hart have been answered. I just got word right before showtime that he is out of hospital and back home, so hopefully he'll be able to have a bit of Christmas cheer with the family and while he's on the mend and get out of that old hospital. So yay, Graham Hart, we're thinking about you. And RBN is continuing its fundraiser by giving away Mr. John Stat Miller's library. And again, donations of $100 or more go into the pot. And each week we're having a book of the week. And then if you don't win that week, you will roll over to the next drawing. And the Sunday announcement is when they announce who won. So be sure to play that game and help the station out. And now, for the newbies, we'll be opening up the phone lines after the bottom of the hour break, so you can call in and tell us what you want to talk about, and that's RBN, because you can handle the truth at 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252, or toll-free 800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. And as always, you can come out and join us in the Trading Post chat rooms at bb9tradingpost.chatango.com. That's bb9tradingpost.chatango.com, where we have the hottest news, the dankest memes, and the best tips on independent living. So come out to bb9tradingpost.chatango.com. The sun never sets on the North Kakalaki Post chat room, but if you're looking for a knife fight, we just assume you go somewhere else. So Mr. Jan Lambrecht is best known, I kind of messed up my order here, but is best known for his work in the truth movement at both his history reviewed site and his AfricanCrisis.info site. I always forget the extension on the African Crisis. It's AfricanCrisis.info, and occasionally bumping heads with the powers that should not be in the new South Africa, the Rainbow Nation, folks living the dream of St. Nelson Mandela's Marxist nightmare, right? So anyway, he's going to be telling us what's going on down there. So I wonder what he wants to talk about. Maybe he wants to talk about the weather. Nice, sunny, but cool day here on Blackjack Mountain. Unlike last Saturday, when those storms came through the East Coast a couple hours after the show, and thank goodness we didn't get the tornado action that Eastern Tennessee and Raleigh got. It was followed by a howling snowstorm all day on Sunday. The temperatures plummeted, and all that rain from the storms immediately froze, and then we got snow on top of it. And about yesterday, the leaves on the Northeast Passage finally dried out and thawed out enough so I could go ahead and clear those before the really bad weather starts to come in. Now, the Elk Report, official Elk Sport responder at EX96, that's Echo X-Ray 96 reporting, no elk spotted on Blackjack Mountain to date. No elk spotted on Blackjack Mountain to date, but there's a lot of very busy people trying to get last-minute Christmas shopping done, but no elk. Now, maybe he'll want to talk about, you know, the big Watauga County debate, which is still going on, which was more hateful, angry black man from Atlanta, Tobias M. Jones, going on a Mad Max terror rampage against white drivers in his semi-tractor trailer truck in New Boone, echo, 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 or some kid waving a swastika flag near the Carpetbagger Chicken Swinger Synagogue of Satan clubhouse. Or maybe you'll want to talk about the latest round of global citizens from state-funded Appalachian State University. Yes, they graduate every semester, so they were really doing the PR this week about how diverse this class of 2023 winner is, and they would refuse to show any white guys. And when we locals asked about if they would show some white guys, our tweets promptly got deleted. So tip of the hat to App State graduates. I wonder if any of those diversity graduates has a nice thing to say about America, Christianity, or the local community that's been supporting them for 4 years. Or maybe he'll want to talk about how Trump election fraud lawyer Rudy Giuliani has been ordered to pay angry black woman mother-daughter team $148 million to Ruby Fremont and her daughter Shay Moss for defamation for holding them accountable for their part in the stolen election. Yes, apparently those were not USB flash drives that the mother-daughter team were handing off and sticking in computers as the video surveillance footage from several angles showed. Those were just breath mints, and y'all were sharing that information are all racist for believing they would do such a thing. We wonder if they will get their own show on the Black Entertainment Network or maybe on the new Disney Channel. Or maybe he'll want to talk about the latest Senate chamber gay porn video leak, taking out North Kakalaki Congressman Madison Cawthorn tried to warn us of just how fake and gay and Zapatina shenanigans were going on there with those Congress critters gone wild, but he was dismissed as just another white guy conspiracy theorist from the Tar Heel State that has no place in Congress. Or maybe he'll want to talk about Elon Musk, the richest goyim in the world, letting Alex Jones and InfoWars back on X Twitter. First, Elon Musk overturns the App State Stasi and Jack Dorsey election year Twitter decision to ban my original Twitter account for mocking and exposing the 5G warfare that App State Chancellor Jezebel Everett and her kosher supporter are waging against the locals up here in the NC Mountain. And now he lets Alex Jones back in? Has the First Amendment ever been so tested since that time there really was a fire in a crowded theater? Or maybe he'll want to talk about the first Saturday Night Live skit in 20 years that was actually funny. That may actually be the result of passing a federal anti-Semitism hate law here in this country. Or maybe he'll want to talk about how all the Antifa and BLM rent-a-ruckus types that have been celebrating for years at the removal of old white guy statues in America are suddenly upset that a white Christian guy tore down a statue of Satan in the Iowa State Capitol. Or maybe he'll want to talk about how Polish lawmaker Grzegorz Braun of the Confederation Party took a fire extinguisher to the Chabad-Lubavitch menorah in the Parliament building and calling it satanic, which technically it is, as it stems from that whole satanic Sabbatean Frankist Illuminati Zionist Chabad-Lubavitch movement thing. Does Mr. Lambrick think that fire extinguishers will be the hot Christmas item this year? Ah, remember that year everybody got yellow vests in their Christmas stockings. Or maybe he'll want to talk about Israel's Bibi Netanyahu accidentally murdering even more hostages this time, as the most moral army in the world continues to defend itself and continues to mow down Gaza to make way for the new Ben-Gurion Canal and the natural gas complex. Can this King David wannabe be stopped? Or maybe he'll just want to talk about fishing. So welcome back to the Snack Shack, Mr. Jan Lambrecht, and tell us, good sir, what do you want to talk about tonight?
Hi there, Frederick. It's an honor to be back on your show, and I was listening with interest to your introduction. You raised many, many issues. There are so many things we can talk about that you can choose anything and we go with it. But I must say that listening to that thing about diversity, I got to tell you people that you Americans have been thoroughly fooled and conned into believing that diversity is a good thing. There is absolutely nothing in history, nothing at all in history that proves that that is so. If diversity was such a great idea, you would not have nations of similar people all over the world. So I'll leave that as my opening statement.
Yes, it's one of those things that it sounds good in theory, but in practice it fails miserably. And I feel bad because I was part of that great experiment in the New South where, you know, it's interesting if you're in the higher percentile in grades and such, you got special Marxist training, right? So I think about all the special classes, you know, we so-called honor students were sent to that just really told us a lot of, you know, things about race reality that were not true. It was a lot of propaganda that they knew wasn't true. And it's that whole thing about some things are put in place to work and some things are put in place to fail. And we realize now that diversity is a weapon to destroy Western civilization. The question is, what do we do with that knowledge? What do you think? After seeing what happened to Rhodesia and what happened to South Africa and seeing what's happening to Europe and every white nation, you know, what do you say?
I only have one thing to say. The only thing that works is whites sticking together. It's that simple. And when it comes to Western civilization, the more I've looked at the way blacks are and the way that even all these other races are, there are so many reasons why Western civilization is really a product of the white man. And only the white man can defend it. Don't you believe that the others are going to defend it. Don't even buy into that, okay? And when I look at Western civilization and what whites have done, at the end of the day, it is a product of our background and it is the way that we are. And nobody else can do it the same as we do it. You know, I don't know if you know much about Ben Clarkson, the creator of the Church of Creativity, but there was a great quote from Ben Clarkson that I saw the other day, where Ben Clarkson said, "I have much more in common with an Australian who lives 12,000 miles away than I have with a black who lives 1 mile away." And that, my friend, is the truth. Is that at the end of the day, we are similar because of our background, because of our genetics. We are from Europe. And whenever I look at the places that succeeded and failed and how people did things, you'll see that wherever white people went, they functioned the same way. They think the same, they act the same, their values are the same. And it's that simple. But I must add into it, from African experience, don't ever believe that there are, quote, quotes the good blacks or the good Jews or the good this or the good that, and that they can take over Western civilization, that they can fix it. When black rule came to South Africa and things started going wrong, whites on many occasions would turn around and say, when are things going to improve? When is it going to come right? When is crime going to go down? When is this going to improve? Etc., etc. And the answer is never. The answer is never. What we do and how we function and our values, it's all an intricate system that is tied together carefully. That system cannot be reproduced by others. And even if you give them the same values, they won't feel the same about it and they will change it. I did a video, I don't know if you saw my video about witchcraft in Africa, and I especially focused on Liberia, which were blacks who had left America. And you look at that, there's Liberia. It's the same as America. It started out the same as America. It's got the same constitution, and it's blacks from America implementing it. Fast forward 150 years, and those blacks are cannibals. They're busy eating other blacks. They are believing in witchcraft. You know, 150 years later, they are back to what they were. And I look at everything in Africa and I see, I'm telling you that humans have got all different kinds of humans have got their genetics. Their genetics takes them to where they naturally feel comfortable. And blacks have got nothing in common with whites. And they are comfortable with things that are completely alien to us. And I must tell you that you Americans, if it wasn't for the fact that white Americans are the majority, your blacks would have gone backwards and downhill much, much more so and sooner. And if you whites become a minority, your country will collapse, and you'll see even your blacks becoming crazier and crazier and nuttier and weirder. Everything about your country is based on what whites did. And if whites become the minority, all the bets are off. Your continent is going downhill. Ditto for Canada, etc. It's like a law of nature. It's like the law of gravity, okay? You put these ratios of people together, and that's going to be the outcome. It's that simple. It's nothing more than that. And you cannot change these people. The final thing I'll say to you is Boers have lived in Africa for almost 400 years. We've dealt with blacks for almost 400 years. And you know what? They are the way that people, that the Boers feel after almost 400 years, they just want to get away from these damn people. If diversity was so great, we'd be wanting to embrace them all, have them move into our suburbs. We'd want to move into their townships. It doesn't work like that. It's the complete opposite.
What I find fascinating as you were talking about that, it took me a long time to get past my libtard conditioning and cognitive dissonance on the whole kumbaya, rainbow world kind of training. I mean, it was, basically brainwashing that they put us through, and you believe it until you get out in the real world and travel the world and see how things really are. And, conversely, I find it fascinating that in North Carolina, in the little town of Fuquay Varina, outside of Raleigh, the capital city, one of the museum history things that's still in existence is an old prisoner of war camp from World War II that basically housed the German POWs, right? And using nothing but junk things that were thrown away, they were able to construct a pristine German village within that prisoner of war camp. And it was later preserved after to show the ingenuity of those uppity Amalek from Germany, right? And that's the reality of you take a people and throw them into any environment, and they can figure out how to thrive. Other peoples, you throw them into, any type of unstructured system, and like you say, it's going to just degenerate because these people can't sustain it on their own. And that was the big lie, that all they needed was the Constitution and, civil rights, and everything was going to be hunky-dory, right? And that's just not the case, and that's really hard to get your head around. And everybody says, well, you're just a hater, and it's like there's not any hate about this. This is nature. Nature's law says this, these are the limits, and that things like IQ and genetics matter. And you tell that to a kindergarten teacher, and it's like next thing you're kicked out of school or whatever, and put on medication because you have wrong bad thoughts, that you're not embracing all this multiculturalism. And it's like, it's not designed to be embraced, it's designed to be doing exactly what it's doing. And the thing that gets me is the people that sold it to us, they knew this. It wasn't like they tried the experiment and it failed. It's like, no, we're going to destroy these countries deliberately with this. And that's when we discovered the Kalergi plan from the 1920s. And that's what we're experiencing. I think, South Africa was really the template of what they were going to roll out in the other white nations. So what do you think of that?
Yeah. Very interesting story about the German POW village. I'd like to ask you later for some photos of that village. I'd love to look at that. I've seen something similar, but I'd like to get the photos. Yes, we are not applying science properly. I looked into the writings of Professor Carol Quigley, who is known for that book, Tragedy and Hope, and that made people on the white right very angry. But I was digging into Quigley's stuff, and then I discovered that in academics, Quigley was actually a Christian liberal. And he's actually not a bad bloke, Professor Carol Quigley. And the thing that he really pulled off in academia that made him very famous among academics and liberals, and a sort of a liberal hero, was he actually wrote a book called Evolution of Civilization. And Evolution of Civilization, that's the book that I really went and focused on, because I was very curious to see what this liberal Christian wrote. And it was an academic book. Anyway, I went through that book, and I found that right near the end, he actually tells you that in academia, the one place where they don't apply science is to humans. And he was saying that they don't treat humans as animals, because if we applied the same rules to humans that we apply to animals, we would turn around and say, you've got different species of humans and different types of humans, etc. And anyway, he goes into a whole bunch of excuses as to why blacks, etc., need to be given a chance, and why it's he went on to a whole binge about why you had to give these people another chance in order to be, quote, truly scientific. But it was a lot of nonsense. But he at least admitted that when it came to humans, that academia throws all science out the window. And the truth is, you need to see humans as different. And in the same way that you can say there's a cat and there's a dog, and a dog does this and a cat does that, and this kind of bird is different to that kind of bird, if you use that kind of thinking with humans, You will understand humans in no time at all. It's really not. It's really not a difficult thing to do. And if you look at Hitler, Hitler was just doing the same thing. Hitler was actually just thinking like a scientist, using knowledge the way it should be used, and just telling the truth the way it is. But there are people, like the Jews especially, for them the truth means death. They cannot handle the truth, and they will do anything, anything at all, to misdirect us and send us down all kinds of paths. And they don't care how much harm they do to society. These people are lunatics. These people are crazy madmen. And they are filled with hatred, make no mistake. They hide their hatred well. Ben Clarkson, in one of his books — I've been reading a lot of Ben Clarkson books lately — Ben Clarkson, in one of his books, actually, you know what, I saw a declassified, a U.S. government declassified document about Ben Clarkson. And in that document, it said that this is a wealthy individual with an intense hatred of Jews and blacks. But it was some very interesting stuff in there about Ben Clarkson. But these Jews are misdirecting all of our society, unquestionably. And they don't care what harm they bring. They are busy with their own nonsense. And Ben Clarkson, in those classified documents, Ben Clarkson said that Jews are the original hate group. And that's true. They hide their hatred well. I saw it myself.
Well, what's fascinating about that is when you actually get in Jewish culture and they don't realize that you're a goyim, you know, the hatred and the vitriol of that Talmudic supremacist mindset really comes out. And, you know, these are a people that say we are the chosen one, everyone else's cattle compared to us, and yet they will have the chutzpah and the pill pull to, you know, say we're going to lead the civil rights movement and start organizations like the National Association for the Advancement of Color People, and we're going to have the laws in all these countries changed to bring these people up. And they know that it's a lie. And you just look at how the same demographic identity politics groups are treated in Israel by the Jews. And it's like they, you know, call them what they are and deport them left and right. They don't want them there. But in every Western country, they go in and they virtue signal. It's like the Jews for Refugees campaign in every white nation. It's like, oh, yes, you know, we're all melting pots. And here we had, you know, the little mountain area of Watauga County after 9/11. You had about two hundred very well trained, very well financed Marxist Jews move in here and declare this is no longer a white high trust community. This, you know, white trust Christian community in a college town that was, you know, predominantly white, they declared that this was now a multicultural community, that we are accepting of everybody from everywhere, and just basically said we're going to just by our will redefine this county, right? And then they just started flooding the area, and anybody who dared speak up against was taken out. I mean, these were people who were just completely ruthless in their, you know, Machiavellian ways to take out the old boys club, as they call it, the good old boys. And they brag about this, that, you know, when we first got here, everything was run by those old good old boys. You mean white, competent, straight white men, right? Anyway, we are getting ready to go into the break. You are listening to Blackburn 9 Saturday Snack Shack. I'm your host, Frederick C. Blackburn. Our guest this evening is Mr. Jan Lambrecht from South Africa, and we will be back after these messages.
are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com. Or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Charles de Gaulle once said, actually, it's difficult to envision in this regard any other criterion, any other standard than gold. Yes, gold, which does not change in nature, which can be made into either bars, ingots, or coins, which has no nationality, and which is considered in all places and all times the immutable and fiduciary value par excellence. So when the question is, why gold? It's simple, my friends. The answer to that question is simply, why not? Like it or not, precious metals will always be the world's reserve currency. Even though nations do not define their currency by their worth in, say, gold, individuals still buy gold and silver to protect themselves from inflation. The more money a nation's central bank pours into the economy, the less value its currency, the dollar is, which means the price of everything else rises. $21 up for a bag of dog food. Seeing that the dollar is cheap, that's why the cost of everything goes up. It's because of the buying power, the value of the dollar has tanked. It's worth nothing. And the gold that your family would have owned in 1907 will buy at least the same amount of goods, if not far more. William McPhee once stated, it's extraordinary how many emotional storms one may weather in safety if one is ballasted with ever so little gold. The truth about money, gold versus cash in a crisis, gold, a valuable thing to store, the power of gold in times of crisis. Historical sketch of paper currency. Oh, and beware the ides of rare coin dealers. And Alan Greenspan's speech on gold and economic freedom. How interesting. I'm going to give you gold and silver in 5 easy lessons. Seeking out the most efficient and most secure route to owning gold and converting it into widely accepted currency is the next best thing to enjoying gold-backed currency, my friends. In a world of central bankers hell-bent on devaluing our savings, you need to own private gold standard. Contact me, Jeffrey Bennett at Kettle Moraine Limited, by calling our phone number at 602-799-8214. That's 602-799-8214.
Yeah, my book has got a hole in it. Yeah, my book has got a hole in it. Yeah, my book has got a hole in it. I can't buy no beer. Well, I'm standing on the corner with a bucket in my hand. I'm waiting for a woman. It ain't got no man, 'cause my bucket's got a hole in it. Yeah, my bucket's got a hole in it. Yeah, my bucket's got a hole in it. I can't buy no beer.
All righty, we are back. You are listening to Blackburn on Saturday Snack Shack. I'm your host, Frederick C. Blackburn, and our guest this evening is Mr. Jan Lambrecht from South Africa. And just a quick housekeeping. As always, please, 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 if you still have means, please contribute to RBN to keep this network on the air. We have to have somebody telling the truth out here because we're up against a big old mockingbird machine that likes to lie and lie by omission and things like that. So at RBN, because you can handle the truth, keep this network on the air, keep shows like this on the air. And also, a little housekeeping I forgot to mention first. first hour. For Christmas, we are going to be off next weekend, so no new Snack Shack next weekend. But I can finally announce, so we got all approved, that the following Saturday, the Saturday before New Year's, we will be having our yearly roundtable. And basically, it's folks that I've been working with for years, or folks I've been working with the last year that come on, and some just come in and say hi, and other people stick around for the full show. And Mr. Mike Gaddy has graciously agreed to give us his third hour for the roundtable, and then he's going to turn around and join us. But so the Snack Shack roundtable on the 30th will start at 6 p.m. Eastern. That's 5 Central, and we will go until the usual time at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central. So anyway, the off next weekend, no Snack Shack next weekend, but the following weekend, the big super special Christmas solstice New Year's roundtable show. So be sure to tune in for that. Now, if you want to call into the show, you can call in at 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252, or toll free 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. And as always, you can come out to the chat room at bb9tradingpost.chatango.com. And so, Mr. John Lambrick, continue your thought before the break about, you know, the system, the patterns that you've been noticing all these years.
Yeah, interesting things about humans, I tell you. But Jews, I must say to you, I did a video about the Jews, and I approached it from an evolution point of view. And I must tell you, you know, I even looked at animals and animal behavior and parasites and all kinds of things, and looking at whites and Jews as animals, and if we looked at our behavior through the eyes of a scientist. And I must tell you that when it comes to whites and Jews, there is no question that the behavior of these people and their interactions with us, that it follows a normal animal pattern. And when Jews come and say, oh, no, you know, these Europeans, they're just making this up, and they just don't understand us, and this and that. You know, all these things are actually repeatable. They happen again and again, and it carries on over and over again. You know, I looked recently at a video where somebody was pointing out, you know, Jews have been expelled not 109 times, but more than 1,000 times. And you'll see the same old patterns setting in. And even if you look at the things that Hitler said, Hitler was also pointing out it's a repeatable pattern, all these kinds of things. And no, none of it is a figment of our imagination. And you know what? We have every right to criticize them. But when I look at them, I see them as another kind of human evolution. I see them as what I call the lower man. And that if you look for, take for example, Europe, Jews and gypsies have lived in Europe for a very long time. And yet the stresses between whites and Jews and gypsies has remained the same over 2,000 years or more. So it doesn't go away in the same way that Boers and blacks in South Africa have coexisted for almost 400 years, and you know, problems are still not solved. And you know what? They're never going to be solved. Why? Because we are really different. And the same is true with Jews. But Jews are a special kind of difference. I see them as a kind of a lower human. I even think that Jews are a couple of IQ points dumber than whites. I think so. And I think that they have learned to adapt to living off of us. and that adaption works well for them at our expense.
I totally agree with that. Yes. We have a question from the chat room before we take the phone calls. It says that you had mentioned doing an audiobook version of Hilaire Belloc's book, The Jews, from 1922. What's the status on that?
Ah, well, if people really want it, it's easy to do. I can easily put it out. If people really want it, you know, just ask me for it, and if I see there's a bit of demand, I'll quickly put it out and get it out. It's an excellent book, I must tell you. Absolutely excellent.
Okay, well, you've got one request there, and that me makes two. I'd like to hear it as well. So that's two votes for when you get time for it. So, Mr. Producer, could we have Mr. Wayne in Texas, please? Mr. Wayne, are you there, sir?
Yeah, hi, good evening, gentlemen. Good show so far.
Happy Saturday. Thank you.
Mr. Lambrecht, I remember reading some of your articles about 15 to 20 years ago when you were one of the few people talking about what was happening to the white folks in South Africa. And to this day, I still remember the brutal pictures that were posted of the farm families being slaughtered and bloody. And, I mean, it was just horrible to see. The thing I really struck me was there was very little mention in Western press about this carnage going on out there. And likewise, I saw Mandela being propped up as some kind of great hero, and how he was such a, you know, a new statesman on the scene. But nobody ever talked about the fact he wrote a book called How to Be a Good Communist. And I was wondering, did you see some of that? Did you see that kind of dual standard in your country at that time? And I would follow up.
Thank you very much for your questions, and it's really good to hear from someone who's been aware of my work for a long time. You are referring to my farm murders page and to the things that that I put out there. I have been trying to bring back a lot of my old stuff because, you know what, people have completely forgotten even the stuff that I did 10, 15, and 20 years ago. So that farm murders page is also on my list of things to bring back. I need to show people what farm murders really looked like. And a lot of people watch that stuff. Regarding Nelson Mandela, what I didn't know back then was that Nelson Mandela was basically a Jewish creation. It is something that I discovered only in recent years, once I woke up to the Jew issue and that kind of stuff, that Nelson Mandela actually had a lot of Jewish backing. In fact, Nelson Mandela is a Jew creation. He was a black guy who went into law, and guess what? He worked for a Jew. And the Jew that he worked for, after he'd worked for this Jew, the next thing you know is he's a communist terrorist who wants to kill white people. And so when it comes to these double standards, this is where Jews are busy at work in the mass media. Jews come and Jews propel their puppets forward. So Nelson Mandela, for example, had been in jail for a long time, and he wasn't even the leader of the blacks because he was in jail. But the moment that they could get him released, all of a sudden they tossed the other black to one side, and then it was, oh, Mandela, it's like God has arrived on earth. You know, here is God himself. And, you know, we in South Africa used to look at this and we used to say, this is crazy, lunatic stuff. Why is the entire world think Nelson Mandela some kind of saint? What we didn't know is that Jews are pumping out all the stuff about this guy. And he's meanwhile a violent communist terrorist that wanted to kill whites. And he even boasted about things. In fact, there's another audiobook that I actually started work on but I didn't complete it, and I need to complete it. It is the story of the Jews and the blacks getting together in South Africa in the Rivonia, in what came to be known as the Rivonia Trials. Jews and blacks, basically Jews, brought blacks in, and they got these blacks, and they planned a massive terrorist slaughter campaign in South Africa. They planned an enormous amount of violence, and that in and of itself is one of the big stories. And these Jews were the driving force of this entire thing, and it's so freaking clear. It's a complex story, but it's one of the most underrated and under-discussed events in South Africa. And then you begin to see that, you know what? Jews are the troublemakers who started everything. And the same is true for your country. You know, just as Frederick mentioned earlier, the civil rights movement. Civil rights, big, disgusting disgusting outcome for America. Civil rights was not a step upwards, it was a step downwards. And all the hatred and things that you people have got, trouble that you people have got with your blacks, I will bet you can go back to Jews.
Okay. Now, had a follow-up question,
Mr. Wayne? I would definitely agree with that. And I would also like to say that in this country now, we see a definite double standard when it comes to the legal system. Because there's lawfare against whites. We see the media covering up a lot of the black criminals running around major cities in our country. We also see outright racism in our schools, in the business area, and also higher education, where a lot of very incompetent people are rising to the leadership levels, and they're just morons, the way they run things. And now we also see major cities like San Francisco, Chicago, Atlanta, they've become nothing but a smoking rubble of what they used to be. And so I think you're definitely right. So what would be the main warning you can give white Americans as we proceed in this new year and the succeeding, next few years?
The main thing I want to tell you people is stick together. Listen to each other. And don't listen to the other races. You are the whites who own America. Stick together. America is yours. Your ancestors created it. Under no conditions must you not even worry about whether you've got Asians or blacks or this or that. Whites must talk to whites, and whites must stick together. I must tell you, in South Africa, we have tried every conceivable form of working with the other races, and none of it works. None of it works. Final point I just want to make, because you raise a very important thing, double standard. When they tell you that if you do this and you let the blacks have a chance and you let the Jews have a chance and the Asians have a chance and good things will come out of it, that is nonsense. That is total nonsense. You will see that when you give power to other people, that they then have the power to do what they want to do. And you will suddenly discover that they start doing things that you would never have done and you'd never have tolerated it. Double standard all the way, and it only gets worse.
All right. Great call. Thank you, Mr. Wang. Hope you have a good weekend.
You too, buddy.
I want to get to a couple other callers here real quick. We're about to run out of time. I just want to mention that back when I was learning the realities of the South African farm murders from people like Mr. Jan Lambrecht and also Ms. Karen Smith of Radio Free South Africa and the various associations she was affiliated with, one of my crew had her brother, who was running a mission out of his church to help the poor blacks of that area of Richmond. This is the area right around Charlottesville, right? And I had to go up with her over Thanksgiving that year, because her brother had just been macheted to death by one of the angry black people his church was trying to help. Came into his house first thing on Saturday morning with a machete and chopped him up. And I got to go up and clean that up. So I got a firsthand real experience of what, you know, farm murders are like. When you go into a space where somebody has been murdered brutally from a machete attack, you know, that's the reality of what's going on in South Africa and what's going on here. And I got to see the double standard of when we finally brought this guy to trial, how the Commonwealth of Virginia treated this angry black man with kid gloves. We couldn't even get a murder one out of this. Meanwhile, James Fields of Charlottesville, whose car came near, you know, Heather Hauer and all the Marxists, you know, he was basically crucified, right? And so it was just this double standard coming out of that Jewish-infested Virginia legal system. So, Mr. Producer, can we have Charles in Florida, please? Mr. Charles, are you there, sir?
Hi, how are you doing?
Greetings.
Yeah. Yeah, I used to get the South African Observer. I think he's the editor was S.E.D. Brown years ago. It was very. Are you familiar with that publication? It used to be in South Africa, South African Observer.
I never saw it myself, but I do know that S.E.D. Brown was actually a Rhodesian who moved to South Africa and he started doing that. Yes.
It was a very good publication. Yeah, have you seen the reports now on the internet? I can't refer you that to the Jews have a mixture with Neanderthal. 5, 10, or 15% of their gene pool is Neanderthal. I don't know if you've read that, you know, that, you know, they recently have, anthropologists have come to consider that most human beings outside of sub-Saharan Africa have some Neanderthal in them, but the Jews seem to have a larger amount than 2% that is usual. I didn't
know that Jews had a higher percentage than us. I know about the 2%, but I've never heard of the 15. I'll have to look into that.
Right, that was a big, you know, learning curve when I started putting that piece of the puzzle together, that this is a very old conflict between the people of Europe and the Neanderthals, and the Neanderthals did not go extinct. They just kind of became the chosen eyes, right? So, great call, Charles. I hope you have a good weekend. Okay, Mr. Producer, we have Jay in Los Angeles, please. We're about to run out of time here, so let's keep it brief. But please.
Hey guys, two quick questions. One, I was just wondering, where do you think that the Ashkenazis as a race come from, some kind of like non-humanoid thing? Because the more I look into it, it does seem like they didn't come from where the rest of the Europeans came from. And the second question is, I think it's too late for this country. I think too many people are brainwashed and lost. I think we're going to go the way of South Africa. And if that does happen, do you think... What would you try to warn the remaining whites here that you guys have learned? Because I think you're kind of the future of what we're going to face here.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing. You people can go down a lot more, and I can see from the way that a lot of people are behaving that your responses are too soft. But your responses are too soft in the same way that South Africa's responses were too soft as well. So when they've been working on your mind, you're at a disadvantage. But those who know the truth, my message to them is stay together and never stop putting out the truth. Because when you give up, that's when things really go bad. So believe it or not, even though you feel like a minority and that you're fighting a losing battle, don't quit. The other thing is also just keep an eye on the world. the world is becoming very unstable, and lots of this globalism and liberalism isn't working anymore. So stick around. There might be other events that will happen that will help to give you guys a boost. And all of us on all the different continents, we must work together to boost each other and keep each other going, because this is a vicious battle to the finish, and Jews will not stop at anything.
All right, great call. Thank you, Mr. Jay. Hope you have a good weekend. All right, Mr. Producer, can we get Mr. James in Vancouver, please? Mr. James, you there, sir?
Yes, sir. I was going to comment that if there was no real Holocaust in Germany, then Hitler couldn't have been that anti-Jew. And so I think there's a contradiction in what your guest is saying. I'll let you guys go. Thank you. Bye.
Okay.
Well, Hitler didn't do the Holocaust. There was no Holocaust. But Hitler, if you look at what Hitler actually said, he actually just wanted to expel the Jews from Germany. That's I've been looking at many memoirs, and Hitler was just trying to expel the Jews from Germany, and they certainly turned the entire world against him for let's call it the minor crime or the fake crime of trying to expel the garbage from Germany, the evil garbage,
and get them and their resources safely to Palestine. Yeah, that's the rub, is the Germans just bent over backwards to try to say, we just want you to leave. Now, we don't want anything bad to happen to you, and we're going to set up this system so all your wealth will go with you, but you need to leave, right? And, you know, to have that demonized and then have things like the Holodomor, the Armenian genocide, and the Russian terror just glazed over, right? That all that we killed, you know, hundreds of millions of Christians, white people, but you can't look at that. But we're going to make up this story about what the Germans did to us, right? So you see that, you know, projection in the mindset of these people. So we're about out of time. So Mr. Yon, give us the quick lowdown, last word, and how everybody can find your work.
You can find my main work on historyreviewed.com. And you can also get my African-related stuff on africancrisis.info. There's also an archive of my old, old stuff, which is still there as well.
All right. And what's are you planning to come to the States anytime soon? Or what's your future looking like in the upcoming year? What's the new year looking like for you?
I haven't got any particular plans to go anywhere. I'm mostly just going to be staying around here. But if ever the opportunity comes up again to go to the US, I will consider it. So there's nothing right. Firm.
Well, you always have a place here at the Trading Post if you ever get back to the East Coast. Just keep that in mind. All right. Well, we are about out of time. We have really enjoyed the show tonight. Thank you so much for staying up late. All you people have to stay up late to come on the Snack Shack. I really appreciate it. And again, no show next week, but the following week is the big Christmas two-hour roundtable special. So be sure to tune in for that. Be starting an hour earlier. So you've been listening to Blackbird 9 Saturday Snack Shack. I'm your host, Frederick C. Blackburn. I'd like to thank everyone for coming out. And until next time, I will see you all at the rendezvous.
People who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.